in a series on balance because in life, you're either on the path to balance or the path to burnout. And it's a constant battle for balance in our lives because modern society is constantly pressuring us and trying to push us off the path to balance and onto the path that everyone else is going down. So if I'm going to balance life's demands, I have to battle to break free from thinking like everyone else is thinking, from acting like everyone else is acting, from going down the path everyone else is going down. And to balance my life, the first thing I have to do is win the war over worry, because most people today are stressed out. They're at their breaking point because they're juggling so many responsibilities. They feel the pressure to perform and to produce, or the pressure to please everyone. And they're filled with worry and anxiety. And we're going to talk about how to overcome worry and balance our lives. But you need God and His power to win the war over worry. You can't do it in and of your own strength. I want to show you a great illustration of trying to do something futile in and of your own strength. This last week, I took several of our pastors, three of our satellite campus pastors and our student pastor, down to Toyota Center to take on NBA All-Star Houston Rocket Dwight Howard. And Dwight was so gracious to take us on, and I'm sure he'd been practicing for years to get ready for this amazing moment. The pressure was on him. But here's what happened. Just watch. I got together a team of pastors, and we went down to the Toyota Center, and we took on NBA All-Star, Superstar, Rocket Center, Dwight Howard. And we didn't just take him on, but we had to get ready and practice. I'm a pretty good basketball coach as well, so I was a player coach. Best player on the team, best coach on the team. And so you want to get your best people in the best places. And since I was the best player and the best coach, then I have a dual role. And I had to get these guys in line. Pretty amazing talent, though, that I lined up for our team. In fact, I want you to meet the players on Shook's All-Stars. Dustin run-and-gun Reitzel, one of the greatest point guards in the country, a top recruit. Cameron, the question, Whitley. He is a bit of a question mark. He is an enigma, but he is an amazing player, especially with chalk on his hands. Mark, the white, slow Mamba Miller, standing at 6 foot even, one of the greatest soccer players in the country. And then, of course, player coach, Kerry Skyhook Shook. We're going to work these guys out, the Kerry Shook coaching style. Been doing this all my life. I take people who are non-athletic. They have everything but talent and skill. And I turn them into great players. Here we go, guys. Come on. Let's do it. Now, you've been playing minor leagues. Come on. Come on, you guys. You get tougher than that. That's not even a foul in the NBA. It's a little better. I'm trying to teach them that they got to get physical because it's a mental game. Let's get up, Cam. Come on. Come on. Okay. Come on, man. Grip the ball. Grip the ball like a man. You act like you're from Europe. You want to not be distracted. Come on now. This is mind games. It's all a mental game. It's mental, and it's 90% mental and 100% physical. Come on. Ooh. I think that's about as good as we're going to get. Now it's ready for the game. I think we're going to be able to handle Dwight. Here we go. He can't handle the dream shake.
What you think you're doing?
Whoa. I'm doing the dream shake on you, man.
You ain't shake yet. Get that out of here.
Where'd it go?
Over here.
Where'd it go?
Over here.
You ready for this?
Yeah, oh, man, this is light work. This is light work. No, no, no. Dikembe Mutombo. Ah! You can't trick me. That's a good face. Get out of here.
Well, I can just tell you this, that was pathetic. That was pathetic. We're going to have to go back to the drawing board, and I'm going to have to fire myself pretty much. I'm going to start with the coach. I'm going to fire myself. And then I'm going to pretty much never talk to my team again. And hopefully they'll never play in the league again because that was an embarrassment to the whole city of Houston. But I guess I should have known playing Dwight Howard that we would get beat 112-0. I thought we'd at least score. But anyway, all that hard work, I dedicated the last 3 years of my life to this team. It's ridiculous.
Coach, do you feel like the glare off your head affected Dwight on that last shot he missed?
What's your name? Who are you with?
I'm Mark with the Chronicle.
Horse and Hound magazine? Get out of here. I'm not going to answer that question. Glare on my head. Yeah. We really do need to go. Yeah. Yeah, didn't go so well. Sad thing is, Dwight never jumped in that, you know. And I promise you, no pastors were harmed during the making of that video. They were injured slightly, but they weren't harmed. You know, that is a perfect illustration of what it's like to face life's challenges in and of your own strength. It's futile. Everything gets squatted back in your face. That's why you need God's power to win the war over worry. Well, we're studying the 23rd Psalm, because it gives us the real key to restoring our souls and balancing our lives and winning the war over worry. And so I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 23, the most beloved and powerful psalm in Scripture. When Chris and I first started Woodlands Church, we met a man who had just come out of alcohol and drugs, and he came to know Christ, has grown in the Lord. And so I asked him to share his testimony, his story at the end of one of my messages, and I said, I'll help you with it. You write it out, what God's done in your life, and then I'll help you with it, and you know, read it to me. So he wrote it out, he read it to me, and I said, John, I wouldn't change a thing. That's just awesome, you know, what God has done in your life and the way you express it. And he said, well, Kerry, I'd like to do one more thing. I'd like to do a palm reading. Well, my heart just sank because I thought, you know, I guess he's still into the occult, and it's too early for him to really share his story. It's probably not going to work out. But I said, John, what do you mean by palm reading? And he said, well, it's the 23rd Psalms. It's my favorite in the whole Bible. I said, dude, you can read 3 or 4 Psalms if you want. Read as many Psalms as you want. Well, we're in the 23rd Psalm, and I want you to stand in honor of God's word and just follow along with me. We're going to study the first third of the passage, and we're just taking it verse by verse and going through it over the next several weeks. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Dear God, we thank you that you're the good shepherd, and we just know today that everyone is coming here with burdens and worries, anxieties, problems, and pain. But I thank you that you know that already, and you know what we're going through, and you care. Not only do you care, but you have the power to do something about it. So we pray for miracles today in this service. We pray that you would meet us right where we are. I pray for everyone who's worshiping through our broadcast ministry or at our satellite campuses or here in the Woodlands. Everyone who hears my voice, Lord, I just pray that you would just Let them know that you know what they're going through and you have a purpose and you have a plan and you have the power to see them through. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if I have the Lord as my shepherd, then there's no need to worry because he's going to give me everything I need. I won't wander after my wants because I'll have everything I truly need. He'll meet my deepest needs. Well, who is the good shepherd? I want you to look at John 10, verse 14 and 27. Because we see Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Jesus said this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I want you to underline three things in this verse. First, my sheep know me. Second, they listen to my voice. And then third, they follow me. And so from those three things, we get the secret to winning the war over worry. First, know the good shepherd's heart. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep know me. Now, how can knowing the good shepherd's heart be an antidote to worry in my life? Well, first, you have to know what a shepherd does. A Hebrew shepherd would do several very important things for the sheep. First, the shepherd provides. The shepherd would provide food, shelter, just about everything that the sheep needed. And then the shepherd protects. Sheep have many enemies, many predators, and the shepherd protects the sheep from all the predators, all the enemies. And then the shepherd guides. He guides the sheep to the best watering holes and the best grazing area. He guides them when they're confused and don't know which way to go. And then he corrects. When the sheep are going the wrong direction or they're going down a path that could lead to harm, the shepherd takes that shepherd's staff and redirects them, pushes them away from the wrong path and back onto the right path. He corrects. So the shepherd provides, protects, guides, and corrects. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ does in our lives when we allow him to be the good shepherd in our lives. He says, I'll provide for you. I'll meet your every need. I'll meet your deepest needs that no one else can meet. He says, I'll protect you. I'll watch over you and put my protective hedge around you. And then I'll guide you when you're confused and you don't know which way to go. I'll give you the right path and I'll push you onto the right path. And then I'll correct the problems in your life and I'll redirect you when you're going down the wrong path that leads to your harm. I'll correct. Well, that's the antidote to worry. What's left to worry about if the good shepherd Jesus Christ provides, guides, he directs my life, protects my life, corrects my life? What's left to worry about? So the key is to allow Christ to be the good shepherd of my life. In verse 1 in Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Underline the phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord can't be your shepherd until the shepherd is your Lord. What I mean by that is you can't say, I want you to be the shepherd of my life and provide for me and meet all my needs and guide me. I want all those benefits, but I don't want you to be the Lord of my life. No, the Lord can't be your shepherd until the shepherd is your Lord. Well, what does it mean to make him Lord of your life? Well, we don't use the word Lord in our modern English, like lords and ladies and knights and all that, but Lord simply means whoever's in charge. The Lord is whoever's in charge, whoever's in control. So the question is Jesus Christ in control of your life? Because worry, when you boil it all down, the root issue of worry is a control issue. Whenever I'm worried, it's because I'm trying to control something that I can't control, that's uncontrollable, that only God can control. We try to control our image. We try to control what other people think about us. We try to control other people, and they don't cooperate with our wonderful control process for their life. We try to control our problems. We try to control our circumstances. Whenever you're worried, it's a warning light. It's an alarm bell that goes off in your life that shows you you're trying to control something you were never meant to control, because worry at its root is a control issue. So I need to surrender my life to Christ's care and control and allow him to be the Lord of my life, to be in charge, to call the shots, to be in control. And the more you try to control, the more your life will spin out of control. The more you try to get control of everything, the more you worry and are filled with anxiety, and worry is just useless. It does us no good. It's like rocking in a rocking chair. As fast as you can go, it wears you out, but you don't get anywhere. Worry is unhelpful and it's unhealthy. And so I have to surrender control to Christ. That's salvation. At a point in time in your life, when you come to the place where you say, God, I can't do it. You know, Jesus, I admit I surrender control of my life to you because I've been trying to control everything. I've been trying to call the shots and play God in my life. I can't do it. I surrender control to you. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I can't forgive them. I ask you to take me to heaven one day. I can't get there on my own. I need you to do that. That's salvation. At a point in time in your life, you surrender your life to Christ's care and control. But once you're a Christ follower, you can still push Christ out of the driver's seat of your life. You can still shove him out of control, and you take the wheel and try to control your life. And when that happens, you eventually crash and burn because you're going down the path to burnout. And so it's a daily battle, a constant process. And whenever I begin to worry, worry is that alarm bell that says, I'm trying to control something I can't control. I was never meant to control. I'm trying to take the wheel from God. So when a worried thought comes into your mind, you can't help it that the worried thought comes into your mind. But you have to decide right then and there, are you going to hold on to the wheel and try to control it? Or are you going to take that worried thought and pray about it and say, God, I can't handle this. I surrender it to you. I need you to give me the strength and wisdom to know what I should do in this situation. But this is bigger than me. I give it to you. And then the peace floods in. And then the next moment, that worried thought comes right back, and you have to give it over to God again. So if you're a really good worrier, you can become a great prayer. Every time that worried thought comes in your mind, pray about it, the scripture says. Here's the verse that I wanted to give you today to meditate on, memorize. Psalm 46:10. Cease striving and know that I am God. God says, stop struggling and worrying and fretting because I'm God and you're not. Cease striving and know that I'm God. So whatever you're worried about, give it over to Christ's control. Are you worried about that relationship? Then say, God, I surrender it to your care and control. Are you worried about your finances? Surrender them to God's care and control. Are you worried about your kids? God cares about your kids even more than you care about your kids. Surrender them to Christ's care and control. And so whatever you're worried about, surrender it over to Christ and let him fill you with his peace. So I need to know the good shepherd. Then secondly, listen to the good shepherd's voice. In John 10, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. We're going to talk about this next week in my message called Balance versus Indecision. We're going to talk about how do you really know it's God's voice or it's just you thinking it up. How do you know when God speaks to you in the silence of your heart? How do you know that it's God's voice? How do you know what God wants you to do with your life? How do you know God's will in a certain decision you're trying to make? And many times, a no decision, not making a decision, is worse than a bad decision. We get paralyzed by indecision. God wants to show us what path to take. But the first thing you have to do is tune out all the other voices because they're constantly coming at me. You have voices. Everyone is always telling you what to do. Everyone is glad to tell you what they think you should do with your life, how they think you should act, what they think you should think. And so you better decide what's important or everyone else will decide it for you because their voice is coming at us constantly. And one of those voices is the enemy's voice, Satan. And the Bible says Satan is the father of lies and he constantly lies to you, but you think it's your own thoughts. He constantly lies to me and says, you're not worthy. God can't use you. You've blown it. You're not valuable. Constantly tells you lies. And so you got to listen to the voice of truth, and that's the good shepherd. Learn to listen to the voice of truth and tune out the lies. Stephen Furtick says, the voice you believe will determine the future you experience. So true. We're going to talk next week about how to listen to God's voice and believe because it's the truth. When he says, you're my child, you're so valuable, I think you're worth dying for. I have a great purpose and plan for your life. I know the plans I have for you, and they're good. Well, the 23rd Psalm in verses 2 and 3 goes on to say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. If you're going to hear from God, you have to get still, get quiet, and hear his voice, and let him restore your soul. That's why we've been going through the book of Ephesians and our daily devotionals, through the book that Kjell Axel Johansson, my Swedish scholar friend, has written, and we're going through it day by day, going through Ephesians every day, going through Psalms 23 verse by verse on the weekends, and getting into men's Bible study, women's Bible study, and small group Bible studies during the week. And by the way, it's not too late to join the men's Bible study or the ladies' Bible studies. Band of brothers this year, men, and it's the great battles of the Bible and how you can fight for the people that matter most in your life. Well, I want us to see a third thing. Follow the good shepherd's path. Jesus said in John 10, and they follow me. Your fulfillment will be a direct result of who you follow. Your fulfillment is determined by what you follow after and who you follow after. If you follow after material possessions, nothing wrong with those things, but they'll always leave you empty. If you follow after the approval of other people, it'll always leave you empty. So what are you following after? Our lives get so out of balance and we lose our joy because we're following after the wrong things. We follow after things that really aren't that important. Folks, don't lose your joy over things that don't count. When your car gets a ding in the fender, don't lose your joy over that. It's just a material possession. Car gets a scratch, don't lose your joy over that. You know, when you surrender your possessions to God, they're God's. There have been many times when I say, God, your car is really struggling right now. What are you going to do about it, you know? Don't lose your joy over material things. And don't lose your joy over someone who criticizes you or what someone says about you. Don't let anyone steal your joy. Martin Luther King Jr., whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow, and all through the civil rights movement, all the racial prejudice and hatred and all the things that came against him, all the wrongs that came against him, he kept saying this, I choose to stick with love because hate is too big a burden to bear. You see, many times we carry burdens around because we choose to, because we let someone else who criticizes us or someone else who hurt us keep hurting us instead of forgiving and giving it over to God and being set free. Don't let anything steal your joy. When I think of joy and sport, I think of Dwight Howard. You know, he's just so filled with joy when he plays the game of basketball, and he's filled with joy in life. And so we're in for a real treat today because right here in the house, we have NBA superstar, 7-time NBA All-Star, gold medalist, 3-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year. I could go on and on, one of the greatest NBA players of all time. But the best thing of all, Houston Rocket. I love saying that. Houston Rocket center Dwight Howard. I want you to give him a warm Woodlands Church welcome, guys. Yeah. I can tell Dwight's walking real slow because of that game that he played the other day against my team.
Oh, man, that was the toughest game of my life.
Hey, you have had a busy weekend, man.
Oh, yeah.
We appreciate so much you being here.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, in between games and, you know, it's a lot going on, but Dwight really wanted to be here. And by the way, man, I watched the game last night. You hit another 3-pointer. Yeah.
I learned from you. That was what you was teaching me, right?
Man, we are so glad you're here in Houston. How do you like Houston?
Oh, man, it's amazing. You know, I'm very happy here. Everybody has been great, you know. And coming from the situation I was in, being here, just like a situation full of love. You know, when I first got here, Hakeem, Yao, all the old school players came out, and you know, they're just very happy to have me here. You know, I just felt at home, and I've been feeling that way since I've been here.
That's really cool, Dwight. Well, I know you're in a long line of great centers now in Houston, and you just keep the legacy going. You know, you've got a team now where you're a real mentor. I mean, it's you're still a young guy, you know, so, I mean, to think that you're a mentor now, but you are. You know, you've been through a lot of ups and downs, and so tell me how you try to mentor these young guys. Like, last night I watched, and Terrence Jones has scored, you know, over 30 points, and, you know, and he kept looking to you and some of the other guys on the team, James, right. You know, to, you know, and really, you know, you're having an impact.
Well, you know, what I tell the young guys is that, you know, you have to be patient, you know. Everybody on the outside of the locker room wants everything to happen right away. And that's how we usually are with our lives. You know, we're never patient. We want everything to come our way as soon as we talk about it or pray about it. And, you know, I tell him, and I also tell another guy on our team, we call him Demo, because I never can pronounce his last name. But I would tell him all the time, you know, just be patient. Continue to work hard, and everything that you want will happen. And, you know, I look at Terrence and I look at Demo. Those guys are getting a lot of playing time now, and they've been looking great. And that's all the hard work and all the dedication they've been putting in on a daily basis, when everybody's like, man, you should play more and all this stuff. Instead of them getting upset, they're taking everything that they have and they're putting it into the gym to get better. And now, you know, they're shining.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's hard for fans to really get it. But, I mean, you guys, how many games do you play? 80?
We play 82 games a year.
And it's a marathon and not a sprint, you told me once. That it's probably hard, though, for those younger guys to see that. I know it's hard for fans because we want you guys to win every night.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't happen that way in the NBA.
That's the hardest thing to do. There's never been a team in the NBA who's won every single game. And it's something that you have to learn. You know, when I first got into the NBA, I cried after every loss. You know, I was so hurt and upset that we lost. I'm like, man, we're not supposed to lose. And when the old guy said, young fella, listen, you're going to lose a lot of games in your life. You know, you got to take the good with the bad. You know, you take that loss, you learn from it, and you move forward. You know, you can't, the game is over with, and you can't take it with you. And a lot of the young guys on our team, you know, they're learning, you know, just how to play the game and how to just trust. You know, the biggest thing with a young team and a team that just got together is trust. You know, because we're all trying to figure each other out, and we all want to do so well, but at the same time, we have to trust each other, and that's hard.
Yeah, and it takes time, doesn't mm-hmm. it? One of the things that I just can't even imagine is all the voices. In my message, I'm talking about all these voices that come at us, but you're on a different level because you, all these voices, 24 hours on cable television and sports channels, you know, they evaluate everything you do, everything a pro basketball player does. How do you deal with that?
Oh man, it's sometimes we feel like American Idol. How at each performance we have to stand in front of the judges and they have to tell us how good or bad we played, you know. But you just have to like block all that stuff out and understand that, you know, we're all blessed. No matter what happens, no matter how bad we might play that night, we can miss a million shots, but we're blessed to be in a position to live out our dreams. You know, so we can't listen to it. It's tough. It's tough. I would say that's one of the hardest things to turn on the TV and somebody's talking about how bad you are. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember, you know, that you can't allow that stuff to affect who you are. You have to stand strong. You have to stay strong. But, you know, it is hard.
Oh, definitely. And I think, you know, the marathon that you're on right now with your team, I just see things coming together. And you've been to the mountaintop. You know, you've been to the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like to me a young team needs you, not just because, you know, you're an all-star, but also because we need to know how to get there, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest messages that I've been trying to give to my teammates. is that it's hard to get to the top of the mountain. And that's why there's nobody up there. It's tough. I've been there and I've been knocked down before, you know, so I understand how that feels. You have to be together. You have to be one to make it to the mountaintop. And it was crazy, as you said, the mountaintop. I was in Aspen this summer training, and I went hot air ballooning. It was crazy. I shouldn't have did it. It's one of the craziest things I've ever done. I'm a very tall guy, and so we're in this little bucket. And I'm like, man, if the wind blow the wrong way, I could just tip over, and that'd be the end of my life. So I'm like, this is a bad
then
idea.
Then you'd definitely be on SportsCenter.
Yeah. So we get down, and we're looking at this mountain. And I'm talking to my trainer, my bodyguard. And I was like, I got a speech for my teammates, and I'm going to say the speech right now. And I'm looking at this mountaintop, and I'm like, fellas, look. I'm talking to nobody. I'm like, fellas, look,
I
this
do that
is
a lot.
Where we're trying to be. And, you know, just we want to be there. Yeah. We want to be there. And once everybody learns that it's not about points, it's not about who gets the glory, it's about winning. And once you figure that out, that's when everybody starts to blossom.
Yeah. Well, I know you've been patient. I'm always yelling at the TV screen, throw it into Dwight. Get it to the big guy, you know? And but I see you handling it all with grace because you know it takes time to come together, the chemistry.
Mm-hmm. It does, you know. The hardest thing that, you know, me having to learn as an older player now is you can't allow your frustration to get the best of you. Mm-hmm. And that happens with our lives every day. That happens on the court for me. Mm-hmm. Is that sometimes we get so frustrated we shut down and we push the people out. And that's bad, and that's what happens on the court a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. And for me and for everybody else, it's more of a mental game. You have to always stay in the game, and you can't allow anything to steal your joy, especially when you're playing this sport.
Yeah.
And you have so many distractions, so many people trying to pull you down, but you have to find a way not to let any of that stuff steal your joy. And it's hard. Yeah. It's hard. You're on the floor, you want the ball, you feel like you got somebody like you on me. You know, like I had you the other day, and you just want to score.
It's pretty much the way it's been, yeah.
You have to not let it steal your joy. And myself and a lot of my teammates, we've been in that position to where we've allowed things to steal our joy. Mm-hmm. And that's when we're not at our best. But when we're at our best, we're smiling, we're having fun, and we're enjoying what we do because this is our opportunity.
Yeah. Speaking of enjoying it, I could just tell when you first became a Rocket, how it was like you experienced a breath of fresh air, that your joy was back. Because that's what I've always thought. Dwight Howard, man, he plays with such joy, such passion, you know, and he's amazing, you know, blocking shots and, you know, scoring and all that. But that passion and that joy, tell us about that when you got here and how you can be more you now.
I love it, you know. When you play basketball, you're doing something that you love, no matter what it is. You want to have fun doing it. You want to be able to enjoy it. And, you know, I enjoy everything about playing this game. This is my dream. This is what I prayed for. This is what I wrote down on my goals list when I was 12 years old to make it to the NBA. You know, so I'm like, I'm going to have fun. This is the life. When I'm on the floor, I'm playing basketball, it's my sanctuary. You know, that's the only time where I can go out and be myself, have fun, dance, make a bucket, block somebody's shot, and smile when everybody's making a mad face, and that's not me, you know. So I enjoy it, and, you know, coming here, you know, I realize, you know, I cannot let anything, anybody, you know, steal my joy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been so genuine, Dwight, with us. Last time you were here, you were talking about just a struggle of making that decision, you know, to stay in Orlando, and you were just real honest about, hey, you know, I felt like God was telling me to move on, but the pressures and everything made it really tough. And I love how you're really honest about your struggles and the things that you've been through, because that way you can spare others as you share. And that just draws people to you.
Well, you know, I've been, even though I'm 28, I'm a very young guy, you know, I've been in a lot of different situations. And, you know, I wouldn't want to see people younger than me go through a lot of the things that I've been through. And I would rather share my story and let them know what not to do so they won't go down the same path.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm in front of everybody, to share my story, let you guys know what I've been through. And hopefully it can, you know, inspire some of you young ones to do better and be better. And that's why we're all put on this earth for a reason. You know, God put me in the NBA to bring people to him, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've had some tough times. I haven't been perfect my whole life. But he's always there, and I know that.
That's really cool, Dwight. Yeah. Well, you know, you shared with us that you came to faith in Christ at 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
and had a powerful encounter with the Lord. And then, you know, you're 18, you're at this small, how small was your school again?
My school, okay. It was 16 people in my graduating class. Yeah, it was super small. Our school went from 12 months all the way up to 12th grade. It was 300 people total in the school.
Wow.
So you're talking about teachers,
babies,
all the babies. You're talking about everybody.
Yeah.
You know, we had a very, very small school. We only took one class for each, well, one room for each class. You know, we didn't have a gym until my senior year.
No.
You know, so it was a very, very tiny school.
To go to the NBA from mm-hmm. a school like that, you're 18. And then you get drafted number one by Orlando. I mean, what a dream come true. And yet, man, you get thrown into the fire.
I was. I went from being in a box to just going out into the world. And I had no clue about what was out there, you know. So it was very tough. It was very tough at 18. You know, I didn't know anything but my family and the friends that I had in my school. And these were the people that I grew up with from a baby all the way up till I graduated. So I didn't know anybody else. I got to Orlando, I'm thinking it's the biggest place I ever seen in my life. And if you've been to Orlando, it's not that big. So I'm like, man, this is amazing. I'm happy, this is exciting. You got Disney World, you got all this stuff going on. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. But you know, it was a learning experience. You know, my school was very, very small. It was 10 girls and 6 boys in my class. So it was pretty small school.
You know, God has really brought you, you know, a long way, Dwight. And, you know, being here in Houston, we feel really honored that you've come to our church a couple times and shared with us. And I just think that we as a church need to really keep praying for Dwight, for God's blessing and strength. I know you're praying for him, you know, when he's playing ball. But do that. You don't mind that, do you?
I need that.
But pray for him for blessings and strength on his life, his family, for God to keep working in his heart, because he's really stepping up and sharing the Lord. And I want to say this too. Your teammates respect you for that, don't they? You guys have been praying together.
We do. We pray in the locker room as a whole, as a group. And then once we get on the floor, right before we do the starting lineups, a lot of the guys come over, we huddle up, and we pray again. Mm-hmm. And what I try to get to the guys is that we need that covering, you know, and just to stay at peace, you know, because there's so many things being thrown at us, even mm-hmm. while we're playing, to try to get us from reaching our goal, mm-hmm. try to pull us apart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just try to pray that we stay together, we stay at peace, and mm-hmm. you know, we're protected while we're playing.
Yeah.
You know, even though it might seem like a small thing to a lot of people, but it's very big.
It's huge, yeah.
And I just try to be that guy for the team.
That's awesome, Dwight. Well, I want you to tell us about what Coach McHale is doing with you on the three-point shot, because you have got the highest three-point percentage of any Rocket right now.
I do, which is crazy.
And you need to remind them of that.
40%. But he has this thing where he says, he has this funny voice. He's like, "Hey, Dwight, listen now.
You make
7 out of 10 from the three-point line, I'll draw up a play. You can shoot one in a game." So I get out and practice every day, and I'm like, okay, after my free throws, coach, I want to try it again. So I get up there, I make 6 in a row. Then I get so excited to make the seventh one that I just missed the rest of them. He's like, ah, it happens every time. So it's crazy. I get up there and I'm swishing from the same spot, nothing but net. Then I get to the seventh one, I start smiling, and I'm looking at coach, and I just airball, and I brick, and he's like, I knew it. But he owes me 1-3.
Ooh, yeah.
So I'm going to wait till for a big game. Yeah. Say, hey, coach, if you need a 3, you can give it to me.
I love it. Hey, guys, really commit to pray for Dwight, and I'm just so grateful for you, Dwight. Anything else you'd like to share with Woodlands Church?
Oh, I'm just happy to be here. Thank you guys for accepting me and having me here in Houston. Don't just pray for me, but, you know, pray for my teammates and, you know, pray for everybody here in Houston and all over the world. It's, you know, it's a lot of things going on and it's a lot of distractions that, you know, try to keep us from what our purpose is in life, you know. So just pray for each other. Just keep all of us lifted up because we need each other. Times are getting bad and this is all we got is each other. So, you know, we can't pray and stay strong for each other and we're going to be in a world of trouble. You know, so I would just say, not just pray for me, you know, but pray for everybody. We all need prayer. My teammates need prayer. You know, we go through a lot every single day, you know, and, you know, a lot of you guys just see what happens on the floor, and it seems like we're always in a good mood and we're joyous and everything is perfect. Remember, we have tons of problems. New level, new devil. That's what I always say, you know, but we all just pray for each other. That's it.
Awesome. God bless you, man. Thank you. Great job. I want to read this last verse and then I want us to pray. In Psalms 23, verse 3, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Underline namesake because God's name represents his character and you can always count on his name. Dwight was sharing with me that, you know, at his church back home, when they began to praise and sing, he thought, I'm a little too cool to do this at first after he got saved. But then he realized, man, when you sing and praise the Lord, the blessings come back because God's name is faithfulness and he always comes through. And I don't know what you're going through right now, but I know this, you're carrying a burden and God says, give it to me, I'm big enough to handle it. There's no problem so great God can't handle it. There's no problem so small that God doesn't care about it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray right now for everyone here that you would just help us keep turning to you more and more. Lord, we don't have it all together, but you do. You are the perfect, extraordinary one. And we thank you for your name. And Lord, we pray for Dwight and his teammates. And we just pray that you would bless these guys and strengthen them. Keep watching over them. Keep just growing them in you, Jesus Christ. Through the ups and downs in this marathon, let them know that a lot of people are praying for them, not just for basketball, Lord, but for life and just strength. And Lord, we also bring to you those here right now that don't know you as Lord and Savior. As Dwight prayed to receive you into his heart when he was 12 years old, Lord, some may be 80 years old or 12 years old or 30 years old. It doesn't matter. Lord, but we all need to come to know you, to know the Good Shepherd. And I pray right now for those who don't know you, they'd pray this prayer silently to you. Dear Jesus Christ, I need you to be my Good Shepherd. I need you to forgive me of my sins. And I ask you to come into my life. And I give up control because I've been trying to control everything and everything's spinning out of control. So I ask you to lead me, to guide me, to be in charge. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Give Dwight another thank you, guys. Awesome. Great. Appreciate it.